Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, we're going to explore NAD, a very important nutrient that I recommend have been for a long time. But new research from two different sources, including the University of New South Wales, that's in Australia, shows that it can really help repair damage to your DNA, therefore anti-age you. Also from the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, are tree nuts really being diagnosed allergies too often? Yeah, almost 50% too often, meaning people really don't have the allergies. From the University of Toronto, does boosting the good cholesterol, the HDL, really improve your health? This you'll find interesting. From Queen's University in Ireland, the Mediterranean diet has an association with the macular generation. It improves it. Big study. Tell you about that. And a meta-analysis, meaning multiple studies, show the probiotic yeast can help manage GI disorders, including some of the worst, like irritable bowel syndrome. Also, 5G technology is being promoted constantly, every hour on television and commercials. But no one has talked about the health crisis waiting to happen. We will. The Natural Blaze has a report, very well done report. I will share that with you. And for those of you using noni, N-O-N-I, leaf, or the fruit, well, you're on the right side of this because it's superior to chemotherapy for lung cancer. This was from Green Med Info. Now, today, most of my program, I'm going to devote to looking at medical McCarthyism, political McCarthyism, scientific McCarthyism, and media McCarthyism. And liberal McCarthyism. Never thought you'd hear that. Well, I hope we never would, but we have. My commentary today will be based upon what I saw last night on 60 Minutes about fake news. And I'm going to show you how 60 Minutes, in my opinion, though they have done some very good and exemplary programs, also have supported the wrong side of issues. I'm going to be very specific. I'm going to be sharing commentaries from some of the finest minds that they, in turn, would think are fake news. But then I'm going to share something that's real fake news today, where someone actually had to apologize. And why, when people said, well, Gary, why aren't you, handling the, covering the pizza gate scandal and the pedophilia? We did carry three different full specials on pedophilia, including the Franklin scandal, pedophilia, and also the BBC and other prominent British subjects in high-ranking positions, pedophilia. But those were based upon court records and investigative reports, not hearsay, not the internet. But for those who fell into that trap, now you'll know why many things you see we don't cover and won't. And you'll hear someone who you know having to apologize for being wrong. So that's why we have scholars in residence. And that's why our information is considered a matter of record. Plus today, if time permits, there is a young millennial who gave a talk that really I thought was inspiring. It's called Most Americans. And then a fruit extract kills cancer. Also, for those of you who have heard about the bankers and how corrupt they are, well, that's true. But you have to be more specific. Let's give you a history of the Rothschilds today and the creation of the Federal Reserve. This is also true. But I'm not going to do it myself. Louis Farrakhan is going to do it. Louis Farrakhan, of course, is the head of the Nation of Islam. And on some issues, I would agree with him. Others, we would share a difference of opinion. But on this one, he is absolutely scientifically and historically correct in what he is saying. You'll understand that when you hear what he has to say. So we have a lot to share. Let's begin. It's not good enough to eat unhealthy food and take a supplement that is known to help protect your DNA. It's not good enough to be stressed, hyperkinetic, distracted, even losing yourself in spiritual relevance. And by the way, there's a huge worldwide movement of what I call spiritual irrelevance, where you think because you're doing spiritual things that somehow you're connecting with your spiritual being. I'm dealing with a whole separate issue, topic, an hour on that coming up on Progressive Commentary Hour. The fraud, I call it, you know, it's like psycho fraud, spiritual fraud. There's a whole lot of people go through rituals that have nothing to do with they're actually facing the real issues of life. And a lot of people just can't face the issues of life. So they disguise the issues, they hide from them, they put all their energy in one area. If I go do enough yoga and meditate, somehow my other problems will go away. No, they won't. They're still there when you come out of your mantra. They're still waiting for you, so why not face them? In any case, what I find is that people live very specific selection lives, meaning they will select their food, either healthy or unhealthy, or maybe some combination, but somehow they expect that as long as they're taking a supplement or doing an exercise, it's all forgiven. It isn't, and which is why you really have to do everything if you want a good outcome. But if you're doing a lot of good, you're exercising, you're eating a healthy Mediterranean diet, you're not overeating, your calories going in are equal to calories being burned, so you're not gaining weight, especially abdominal fat, you're not diabetic, then this makes a difference. It is NAD. NAD is a dinucleotide, and it increases the repair of your DNA damage that results from normal aging. Or maybe you've had radiation or an x-rays. And this is according to Science Magazine. A professor there and colleagues found that it really is very important. Quote, this is the closest we are to a safe and effective anti-aging drug that's perhaps only 3 to 5 years away from being on the market if the trials go well. And, we don't need a drug. NAD is not a drug. It's a nutrient. B, people have been using it for years effectively. C, he wants to combine the NAD in its natural form to a drug so they can patent it, much like what they did with resveratrol, and then sell it for 10 times more than what it would be, or someone else sell it. All you have to know is this, that this doctor and his team discovered that the protein known as DBC1, which stands for deleted in breast cancer 1, contains a domain that binds NAD, the oxidative form of a coenzyme NAD that occurs in all living cells. And binding of NAD inhibits the interaction of DBC1 and PRAP1. That's a DNA repair protein. So with aging, the NAD levels decline, and DBC1 is increasingly bound to PARP1. In non-scientific language, it means that its NAD is interfering with a process that would prevent you from being able to repair your DNA, so now you can repair your DNA. So that's what it is. So it's very important, and it's even more powerful than resveratrol. A new study from the American College of Allergy and Asthma and Immunology, published in the Annals of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology, shows that a lot of people, as many as 50% of those who think they're allergic, are not. Many patients with a history of a single tree nut allergy, peanuts not actually a nut, it's a legume, but let's call peanuts a part of the common allergies, or some other nut, they're not. And when properly tested, both positive blood and skin prick tests, they were negative. So a lot of people believe they're allergic because people say, oh, that's a highly allergic nut. And so they think highly allergic, I must be allergic to it. Not true. And so nuts are extremely important for your health. Now, it's not as if one nut is superior in all respects. But if I had to eat, and which I do, nuts or nut butter, and the nut butter is simply taking the nut and grinding it so it's in a easily digestible, more bioavailable form, it would be, top of my list would be walnuts. Then I would have coconut, almonds, pistachios, macadamias, cashews, filberts, Brazil nuts, pecans. Those are your really healthier nuts, and pine nuts. Under the seeds would be flax seed, hemp seed, sunflower seed, pumpkin seed, sesame seed. Those are your healthiest seeds. So the idea is to have combination of those, about 2 ounces or what would be a tablespoonful each day. And you're doing yourself an enormous amount of good, especially your heart. Now, one of the things we've always been looking at is not just total cholesterol, but whether or not you have lots of the high-density lipoprotein, or HDL, and don't have a lot of the bad LDL, or very LDL. This is the latest study on this, and it says increasing levels of the good HDL cholesterol does not necessarily provide protection against heart disease. Raising levels of high-density lipoprotein cholesterol has regularly been suggested to provide protection against cardiovascular disease. With a raft of nutrition science linking whole foods and specific nutrients and dietary changes to an increase in the good cholesterol, from cutting out sugar drinks to eating more whole grain and fish and increasing intakes of sea buckthorn, there's a wealth of research suggesting nutrition not only can lower the bad LDL cholesterol, but also increase the good cholesterol, and that this is a good thing for the risk of heart disease. However, a number of recent studies have suggested a single focus on cholesterol, and especially total cholesterol, may be, quote, thwarting cardiovascular disease prevention, while a study last year suggested good cholesterol itself might actually be bad. And now researchers from the University of Toronto suggest that rather than increasing concentrations of the HDL cholesterol, it's an altered function of the high-density cholesterol that is associated with lower heart disease risk. This was published in the British Journal of Pharmacology. So what does this mean in lay language? It means this, and I think this is fairly accurate. Instead of trying to have a low overall cholesterol and a higher high-density lipoprotein, it is better to have lower LDL, meaning the bad part of the whole cholesterol question is the LDL. That is, by every measure, not good. So as long as you are on a plant-based diet and exercising, your LDL, the bad cholesterol, will be low. And if your bad cholesterol is low, that's a good thing. On the other hand, the best way of raising your good HDL is not through nutrition, but rather it's through exercise. Because aerobic exercise not only raises the HDL, but it raises it in conjunction with making the heart stronger and healthier, increasing blood flow, and deleting a lot of the plaque inside the arteries that could lead to different forms of heart disease. So it's really irrelevant whether your cholesterol is, 140 or 200. As long as you have a low LDL and you have a good HDL and you're exercising, that's the key. So just having a low cholesterol by itself is not an indicator of a healthy heart, and just having a higher cholesterol by itself is not an indication that you're going to have an unhealthy heart. We have made cholesterol too significant and not pulled back and looked at all the other factors. Regular exercise does more for your heart than anything else you're going to do, more than any nutrient. But now they never look at nutrients. They never look at magnesium, coenzyme Q10, L-carnitine, hawthorn, and cayenne, and vitamin E, the single most important nutrients for your heart. And you cannot get those through the diet. You must supplement. So when you do it the right way and you're looking at the total picture, your cholesterol will come down. Your LDL, the bad cholesterol, will go way down. Your HDL will go up, and you'll have a healthy heart. The Mediterranean diet is important if you want to help with age-related macular degeneration, the number one cause for blindness. This is from Queen's University in Ireland. The investigators looked into the eye disease conditions, and they found that those who stuck with the Mediterranean diet had a substantial improvement in their eye scores. So what does this mean? It means the more nuts and seeds, vegetables and fruits, beans are very good, whole grains, and here they included fish, the healthier your vision. And finally, from Lao University in France, published in the World Journal of Gastroenterology, there are different types of probiotics. And these probiotics can manage symptoms of GI disorders, specifically irritable bowel syndrome. Quote, supplements containing these particular probiotics may improve gastrointestinal symptoms in people with irritable bowel syndrome. That's terrific. If you've ever counseled or know anyone with irritable bowel, they have pain in the gastrointestinal region. There's always this discomfort, always as if they're going to vacate their bowels. And so anything you can do to help them is important. And this certainly is a good way of importing them. And I'll also mention about the 5G technology. I'll address that for a moment. According to the Natural Blaze, I want to commend them for doing good work on this. G5, and I'm sure you've seen the advertisements, technology involves the nationwide rollout of thousands of antennas to be used in conjunction with various supporting appliances and applications in the wireless mobile network. There are, however, very serious growing health, safety, and environmental concerns over this developing technology. The FCC, that's the Federal Communication Commission, has given the okay for the telecommunications industry to operate the G5, which means fifth generation, technology using new special, what are called spectral frontiers, making the USA the first country in the world to do so. However, operation on this new higher frequency electromagnetic spectrum range has never been evaluated for how it will impact humans or animals or the environment. Quite an appalling circumstance when considering the current wireless technology with its electromagnetic hypersensitivity is known to disrupt biological integrity and cause ill health. People's exposure to the electromagnetic field frequencies have been known to result in neurological effects, brain tumors, learning difficulties, nervous and hormonal behavioral problems. It's also been said that the same will happen with G5 technology. But what about children? They are more susceptible than adults because their smaller bodies take in higher electromagnetic frequency radiation. Thus, if allowed, G5 will be another addition to the list of silent killers associated with deceptively harmful technology. In short, the globalists have their own agenda. Make money. But what about the consequences, the side effects? The media is not talking about it. They could, but then again, that might interfere with all that advertisement you see out there. Oh, and by the way, a lot of people die of cancer each year. But one promising food published in the Journal of Food and Function is the noni. Edible leaf extract enhance immune response against lung cancer. And this was found in an alcohol-based leaf extract of the noni tree. And it helps. So for those who have lung cancer, noni juice and noni leaf extract. It increased blood lymphocyte counts. It increased spleen tissue B cells. It increased T cells. It increased natural killer cells. It reduced epidermal growth factor receptors. It suppressed the COX-2 inflammatory markers. It enhanced the tumor suppressor gene. It inhibited the tumor growth cellular genes, transformed T3T cell. It inhibited the mechanistic target of MTOR expression in tumors. So it did all that. Now you have another tool in your arsenal against cancer. I'm Gary Noll. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'm Gary Noll, broadcasting on the road, finishing up some very important documentaries. I'd like to welcome all of you from all the different places that you're listening. This coming Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll be doing an extensive webinar. And this webinar will have first the showing of a, which you'll be able to watch, a showing and listen to, a major documentary. And then I'll be addressing the following. What is the likely outcome to our planet, to our country, to different states and cities, to our lives, with the cataclysmic environmental cascading feedback loops that we are now experiencing that will accelerate? How true is it from Professor Guy McPherson and others that we only have about 9 years left, maximum, before life as we know it, for most individuals to be severely affected, and for a lot of people, they're not going to make it? What do we do for those of us who are optimists and willing to do something? I'll talk about the best places to live, how to get there, do it alone, if you're old, single, family, cooperatives, eco-villages, which are the places you should not be living and why, the cities, the states. What are the best ways of in learning homesteading, self-sufficiency? I'll go into all that. What to do no matter what crisis you're faced with, whether it's a solar storm or whether it's a rising sea level or an earthquake or sandstorm, desertification, running out of water. How do you deal with that? So it's all about what to do so that you can still have and actually increase your quality of life. So it's a real, and I'm going to have lots of lists to give people, and it's, you can go to my website, anyone. You can go to GaryNoll.com, PRN.FM, or Caressa Radio Network, and you can sign up for it. And because we're expecting a huge number of people, we have expanded the bandwidth. Because last time I did a webinar about 3 months ago, we ran out of space. So I want to apologize to thousands of people who tried to get on and couldn't. We just didn't realize there'd be that many people interested. Now, I want to show you why this is important. And here's what you have not heard in the media. This is from Christopher Favelle and from Juno. And it's an article entitled, Alaska's Big Problem with Warmer Winters. Juno has no plan, little money, for erosion or thawing permafrost. The wind that comes off the mountains across Cook Inlet in southern Alaska still feels pretty cold in February. But lately it's not cold enough. From 1932 to 2017, the daily minimum temperature in Homer, Alaska, a city on the eastern shore of the inlet, averaged 19 degrees Fahrenheit in February. Narrow that to the past 10 years, and the average is 21 degrees. For the past 5 years, it's 25 degrees. Last February, Homer daily average was 30 degrees, just 2 degrees colder than Washington, D.C., 200 miles, Washington, 2,200 miles closer to the equator. As warmer winters arrive in Alaska, the city of 5,000 offers a glimpse of the challenges to come. Precipitation that used to fall as snow now lands as rain, eroding the coastal bluffs and threatening the only road out of town. Less snow means less drinking water in Homer's Reservoir. It also means shallower, warmer streams, threatening the salmon that support Cook Inlet's billion-dollar fishing industry. Heavier storm surges are eating away at Homer's seawall, which no insurance company will cover and which the city says it can't pay to replace. Warmer water has also increased toxic phytoplankton blooms that leach into oysters and clams. When eaten by humans, the toxins can cause amnesia, extreme diarrhea, paralysis, and death. Homer's lucky compared to some villages in Alaska on the western coast that are falling into the ocean. Those villages have asked for hundreds of millions of dollars to be relocated inland. Quote, I'm up against other places that are losing their infrastructure or have severe problems due to flooding, says the city planner. Last year, the city planner asked the state for $300,000 to pay for a plan to cope with growing stormwater problem. He didn't get it. Across Alaska and towns built on permafrost, rising temperatures are causing the ground underneath their buildings and homes to sink, damaging buildings and roads. In towns built on the coast, less sea ice means greater exposure to storms and floods. Drier conditions have led to more forest fires. Extreme weather killed or injured as many Alaskans as in the previous 10 years combined just last year. Quote, environmental change is not a theoretical issue in Alaska. It's happening and it's accelerating. Alaska was once at the vanguard of states trying to deal with global warming, and then it stopped. So imagine hundreds of towns that have been there for decades all over Alaska. Now there is no future. When I say no future, I mean zero future. It's over. They're not going to get help. In some places, their towns were too close to the water. Now with the water coming in and all that permafrost is thawing, the whole giant chunks of earth are just falling into the ocean. And with it, first, it starts with the outer roads. Now they have no access. Then it starts with the outer buildings. And then buildings that have been there for 100 years fall right into the ocean. You haven't read about it. You haven't seen it. But it's happening. Now imagine all the other places in America where suddenly you have a sandstorm 3 miles high, 6 miles long, worst sandstorm reported in American history, and doesn't even make the news. But if you have a car and that sandstorm was 30 miles an hour, you're going to need a new paint job. With dust, you can clean a lot of the dust out, but with sand, but not out of your lungs. With sand, it can destroy property. You have a fruit tree, it's dead after a sandstorm. And yet, not a word about it. So I'm going to deal with all this. To the person who came up to me in the airport and says, Gary, what's wrong with vaccines, man? You know, get off that. You know, if they were bad, the CDC wouldn't allow you to have them. Who said that? Well, a man claiming to be a physician. So to the doctor who believes, and that's fine, that there's nothing in vaccines to be concerned about, I went to the CDC and I asked them for the list, and it's there. You can go get it for yourself. It's up on their website, of what are actually in vaccines. I'm only interested in what you should be concerned about. Here's what are in vaccines. Formalin, 2-phenoxyethanol, a continuous line of monkey kidney cells, acetone, green African monkey kidney vervo cells, alcohol, aluminum hydroxide, aluminum phosphate, aluminum salts, ammonium sulfate, aluminum phosphate, amorphous aluminum hydroxyphosphate sulfate, anhydrous lactose, anti-foaming agent, a cellular DNA, a baculovirus, baculovirus, and another fungi, barium, benzethonin chloride, a bovine albumin, bovine calf serum, bovine serum, bovine serum albumin, calf bovine serum. Let's see here. We have casein, castor oil, cell culture medium, cellulose acetate phylate, chick embryo cell culture, chicken fibroblast, and also a CMRL, a medium with calf serum, complex fermentation medium, CRM carrier protein, fructose, defructose, define fermentation growth medium, deoxychlorate, dextrin, dextrose, dibasic potassium phosphate, dibasic sodium phosphate, dimethyl beta cytodextrin, dimethyl beta cytodextrin glutaldehyde, disodium phosphate, D-mannose, DNA, dried lactose, E. coli, eagle-modified medium, egg proteins, FDNC yellow number 6 aluminum lake dye, fendim medium containing bovine extract, ferric nitrate, fetal bovine serum, formaldehyde, galactose, gelatin, and guinea pig cell cultures. A long one, hexadecyclotrimethylammoniumbromide, host cell DNA, human albumin, human dilepoid cell culture, MRC5, human diploid cell culture, W138, human embryonic lung cell cultures, human cell albumin, human diploid fibrocell blast culture, WI38, hydrocortisone, hydrolyzed casein, hydrolyzed gelatin, hydrolyzed porcine gelatin, inorganic salts, iron ammonium citrate, isotonic sodium chloride. Let's see here. M199 without calf bovine serum, Madden Darby canine, that's a dog, kidney cell protein. And I have 7 more pages with about 40 different ones per page. And I'm just looking down these, and I wouldn't want one of these things. And yet all of these are able and do go into different vaccines. So the next time a doctor comes up to you and says, well, you know, what's so bad about a vaccine? How about there's nothing right about a vaccine? The ingredients are toxic. You can look in any toxicological textbook and see these should not be used in the human body, and we're giving them to babies. So with over 300 different ingredients that could go into vaccines, I just gave you a few pages of what go into some vaccines. You were not told about this by your nurse, pharmacist, or physician, because they are not aware of it either. Everyone's believing in misinformation. When we talk about misinformation, I want to share something. It concerns 60 Minutes last night. Now, sometimes 60 Minutes does some interesting interviews. They can give us some insights into what's happening in parts of the world that otherwise we would not know, and sometimes they can be completely objective. Well, last night they told a half-truth. And there's an old Jewish saying, a half-truth is a full lie. What do I mean? They were showing fake news, and they showed a person, a lawyer from California, who makes a lot of money with 2 different websites that are all fake news. And he was the one who put up there the whole Pizzagate scandal. It's all fake. Now, he claims it's not, but he presented no prima facie or evidentiary evidence to support that it's anything but fake. And he may believe his own misinformation, but it's clearly fake. And the internet is filled with fake stories, nonstop. And it also, and what it did do that I support, it showed how there are people who can take your website and then put fake news in and spread it around as if you're the purveyor of that. We've had that happen on my own website, where I've told people, if you see anything on this website that looks like it didn't come from me, and you should know enough about me now to show what I would put up, then the high probability is it's fake, and we generally try to catch some of that within hours and take it down. But here's a person. We're going to play you a clip now from one guy who really promoted this and he had to apologize. This is Alex Jones apologizing for Pizzagate coverage. Now, he may blame other media outlets, but you've got to have scholars in residence that all they do, if you're going to disseminate information, is to make sure, is your information correct? Are your facts supported by evidence? Listen to Alex Jones' apology.
Last fall, before the presidential election, a large number of media outlets began reporting on allegations arising from emails released by WikiLeaks that appeared to come from John Podesta, who served President Clinton and Obama and was the chairman of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Dozens of those stories and articles raised or discussed theories that some of Podesta's emails contained code words for human trafficking and/or pedophilia. Stories also included allegations connecting members of the Democratic Party with a number of restaurants allegedly involved with a child sex ring. These stories were cited and discussed in social media and went viral on the internet. One of the persons mentioned in many of the stories in the media was a Washington, D.C. restaurant owner named James Alefantis and his pizza restaurant, Comet Ping Pong. It is fair to say that Mr. Alefantis is a prominent individual who has been mentioned as a power player in Washington. Mr. Alefantis and his restaurant were mentioned in many stories published by a lot of different outlets. Mr. Alefantis was quoted in many subsequent stories, and he denied any involvement in such reported child sex rings. These denials were reported in the national media and many other outlets and news websites. The volume of stories was substantial, generating national headlines and came to be known across the country as Pizzagate. We at InfoWars became part of that national discussion. We broadcast commentary about the allegations and the theory that the emails contained code words. We raised questions about information in Mr. Podesta's emails and in the Comet Ping Pong restaurant. We believed at the time that further investigation was necessary. In December of 2016, we disassociated ourselves from the Pizzagate claims and theories, a position we reiterated last month after being contacted by Mr. Alefantis. In late February of 2017, we received a letter from Mr. Alefantis asking that we retract certain statements that he says were made in seven of our broadcasts between the last week of November and the first week of December in 2016. We have attempted through our lawyers to contact Mr. Alefantis to discuss with him what sort of statement he would like to see made. In our commentary about what had become known as Pizzagate, I made comments about Mr. Alefantis that in hindsight I regret and for which I apologize to him. We were participating in a discussion that was being written about by scores of media outlets in one of the most hotly contested...
Okay, here's the issue. Do your homework before you make statements, and don't assume that because something's on the internet and a lot of people are talking about it, that it's true. But now more specifically to 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes is going to fall into that pattern of deciding, and it went in that direction of, well, shouldn't we have like a clearinghouse where what we know is truth and what everything else is not truth? And the answer is no, because that's exactly how this is all beginning to play out, where there will be individuals who will have sites that say these are the legitimate sites and everything else is not legitimate. Well, who likely is to be on the illegitimate or fake news sites? Virtually everyone who is telling the truth about important issues, for example, Global Research is a legitimate site, and Truthdig's a legitimate site, and Op-Ed News, there's at least 100 sites that we know are run by responsible, qualified journalists, researchers, and activists. Their information is already under attack, and they're being marginalized so that you won't go to their sites, or even that the major carriers like Facebook or Google will not even allow them on. So that's where this is going. In effect, we're going into a whole new era of political McCarthyism. And so the truth will not come out. So I want to give you an example of how this is all played, and why we must be extremely diligent not to allow ourselves to be played, where we must allow people to know, yeah, there are bad sites out there, but there are an awful lot of good sites, and the people who control all of it can end up causing you not to have the site available that you need when you need it. Who told you about asset forfeiture? Was it the mainstream media or any of the so-called corporate sites? No. Who told you about the truth about Gaddafi and that the most progressive, advanced, prosperous nation in Africa, country in Africa, was not a threat? Was it anyone out of the State Department, the CIA, the National Security Agency, the New York Times, Democracy Now? No, they all supported that it was that he was killing his own citizens, none of which was true. How about when it was claimed that Assad was gassing his own with sarin gas, and therefore we should go across and put boots on the ground and destroy him? All the mainstream were wrong. All of the corporate sites were wrong. All the networks were wrong. They all got it wrong. Who got it right about Iraq and weapons of mass destruction? The very sites I mentioned got it right. All the mainstream got it wrong. Vietnam War, they got it wrong. We got it right. Afghanistan, they got it wrong. We got it right. In fact, how would you have known about all the things happening like glyphosate and genetically engineered foods and how bad they are? They didn't break the stories we did. Vaccines, they didn't break the stories we did. America becoming a police state, they didn't break the stories we did. We meaning those of us on these sites that are not afraid and have the capability of telling the truth and doing original investigative journalism. We have no allegiance to any political or ideological base, just the truth. So watch where this is going. I'll tell you exactly where it's going. Within the next 6 months or so, you will see a group of people coming forward saying that we need one source to tell us where the good sites, legitimate sites are, and everybody else how to stay away from them. But it's already here. This is from Professor Michael Chofkidowski of Global Research, one of the most respected sources out there. Quote, Harvard University has established a modern version of the Catholic Church's index, Librarium Prohibitorium, a list of prohibited online publications which are tagged as fake and false, broadly following the politically tainted list of censored independent and alternative media. As we recall, the Catholic Church's index was a list of books deemed heretical and anti-clerical. So Harvard has decided in one fell swoop that virtually the entire U.S. alternative media pertaining to tens of thousands of authors would be categorized not only as fake news, but fake science, knowledge, and analysis. The Harvard Index, however, goes far beyond the Catholic Church's index, which selectively banned books after carefully reading and reviewing and evaluating within the church's hierarchy. This frivolous decision by Harvard constitutes a violation of the most fundamental principles of university education, which is a debate, discussion, critique, and analysis. The Harvard Index asks, as a linchpin, it establishes a new normal, a guideline to colleges and universities across the land regarding what we can and cannot read, what can and cannot be written. Needless to say, Harvard's Index broadly undermines the foundation of university education in it states academic mediocrity. In turn, the targeted websites are the object of WikiSmear campaigns, which has become embedded in online search engines. The latter tend to be increasingly skewed against alternative media content. And the alternative media sites are therefore casually tagged as promoting fake news and conspiracy theories. Harvard Library lists the authoritative fact-checking sites and plugins required by students and professors to detect fake news. So in lay language, what you have here is you have Harvard University, and you know how many powerful wealth oligarchs are associated with Harvard, including former president of Harvard, Larry Summers, who was one of the architects of the Clinton. As Clinton Secretary of Treasury, he also was one of the architects of destruction of the Glass-Steagall Act and the Commodities Future Trading Act, which allowed casino capitalism derivatives to go crazy. He was also one of the architects of the exploitation of Russia's independence and exploited the country. They're going to tell you what's good and bad, what you can and cannot use. Massive censorship is about to occur. Massive. Yes, there are fake sites, and yes, there are fake blogs, and I'm wondering how much the CIA is behind many of these, setting it all up as straw dogs so it can then come in and tell the people, don't worry, we'll tell you what's a good site. CNN's a good site. MSNBC's a good site. But all those others, don't touch them. And that's wrong. Let me give you an example, very specific example. Let's take the case of Wikipedia. I consider Wikipedia such a horrendous source, I will not use it, nor any of my staff. We don't use it at all. But a lot of people will go there. And, of course, every single alternative doctor, holistic doctor, chiropractor, everything involving the natural world and natural sciences is denigrated. But who's doing the denigration? And what if you try to correct anything? You can't. It's a fixed system. Now, in my personal opinion, WikiLeaks or Wikipedia has no credibility at all. But let me go beyond my personal opinion. A study from the Journal of the American Osteopathic Association found that up to 90% of entries related to health contain one or more major errors and concluded the site is a corporate propaganda machine. Quote, looked at 10 of the most costly health conditions, diabetes, depression, cardiovascular, cancer, etc. 9 out of 10 entries had major errors or false information. The study discouraged health professionals and students from relying upon Wikipedia. Dr. James Heilman, former president of Wiki Project Med Foundation, the nonprofit wing of Wiki, stated on BBC that Wikipedia is not a website for finding truth. Wikipedia on its own page says, quote, we do not expect you to trust us. Information derived from Wiki is not permitted as reliable evidence in any courts. Wikipedia Foundation is its major nonprofit funder with over 40 independent chapters around the world. Most of the tens of millions goes to these chapters and then gets lost. The foundation has been investigated for mass corruption. There, in 2014, Wiki editors were hit with a $10 million defamation suit by a Canadian businessman. In turn, 2015, Wiki, along with Human Rights Watch, Nation Magazine, and Amnesty International, filed a lawsuit against the National Security Agency and Department of Justice Bomb Administration for its dragnet internet operations and mass surveillance that included Wikipedia. In 2007, an IT tech at California Institute of Technology created a program called Wikiscanner to uncover the source of those who most frequently wrote and edited entries. The main sources, guess who was behind all this? CIA, the Democratic National Party, to edit right-wing radicals like Limbaugh, denigrate him, Diebold voting machine company, leading Bush funder, Microsoft, media groups behind the GMO industry, etc., those the people behind Wikipedia. An article in International Business Times, companies pay top dollar to tech firms to get their Wiki entries fixed. Example, one 37-year-old Wiki editor gets $50 per small Wiki edit, $2,000 for creating new entries, and this is his main source of income. And there are thousands of people working for Wikipedia like that. One group of Wiki editors uncovered hundreds of accounts on the site connected with a single public relations firm. Private company, Wiki PR, creates and edits over 12,000 paying clients. Several other PR firms like them. So the reasons not to trust Wikipedia that the mainstream media trusts. The editors and contributors do not provide their real names or any personal information. Individuals with agendas often have editing authority to allow, disallow, or delete information and comments. Susceptible to vandals and trolls from vested interests whose info doesn't go changed for a long time or ever. These kinds of edits are called socket puppets, which gang up on a site to make major distorted edits, especially for those pages dealing with alternative medicine, GMOs, or vaccines. So if you believe vaccines are dangerous, if you believe GMOs are harmful, if you believe that alternative medicine is important, you're going to be looking at bad articles and reviews on Wikipedia, and you will not be able to change them no matter what your evidence. Also, casual participants to contribute has become more difficult because a group of the Wicked editors known as the deletionists. Hack a contribution, you get it deleted instantly. So where was 60 Minutes when it came to going after investigating the Quackbusters? Where was 60 Minutes when it came to investigating behind Wikipedia? Where was 60 Minutes when they came to the cynic doctors who would attack any other doctor, even though the cynics had and skeptics had no background in the field they were condemning? No background, no studies, no board certifications, nothing. Yet they would go on television and say with certainty that vaccines were safe, that organic food was no better than regular food, that vitamins were just creating expensive urine, even though there were 500,000 studies in the peer-reviewed literature to counter them. The mainstream media, including the New York Times, used these people, including Consumer Reports, as so-called experts. All fake news. So for as long as I've been in the health field, we have had the truth, and we've had these so-called experts that the mainstream media uses to denigrate them, all for economic and political reasons. Not once has the mainstream media called these people out for the fakes that they are. Yet real news, truth, investigative reporting, showing behind the scenes from Robert Perry and Chris Hedges, that is now considered new fake news by the mainstream media, and they want to censor it. So a whole new McCarthyism is at foot, and it's controlled by the liberal media and expected, and I will do more on this in upcoming programs. Now, we're going to finish out today's program by having you listen to a young millennial who has something to say to people and is called Most Americans. See what you think of it, please.
They poison the air. They poison the water. They poison vaccines for our sons and our daughters. Call it conspiracy, but it doesn't faze me. Watch some world star hip hop and see if I'm crazy. Dumb upon dumb, the dumbing down worked. They can't answer a question, but they know how to twerk. And before you think that you're any better with your degree in hand and pocket protector, answer this. You voting for left or the right? Illusion of choice in a rigged fight. Television for multiple personalities. One watches news, the other reality. Both have the same owners, both have the same writers, both have the same purpose to kill our desires. Working our jobs, we are now so complacent. Photographing our food is now entertainment. We can't afford thrills. We can't even relax. Can you even clear your head without a Xanax? Or Prozac or Ambien? Go down the list. Who gave us these issues that Big Pharma can fix? They say harmful ingredients in such small amounts can't hurt anyone, but it's paramount. 69 doses of vaccines is what's on schedule by the time you're 16. Pharmaceutical lobbyists are second to none. In the past 7 years, they spent $800 million. That's chump change in investment return once you see cancer alone is a $500 billion a year industry. As I mentioned before, this is one of the ways they've taken control of the people these days. We pay to be poisoned. I know that sounds nuts. Got a computer? Bill Gates thanks us. Watch Innovating to Zero, Gates' TED Talk stand to reduce carbon emissions, a population control plan. In his own words, here's the goal. If we do a great job with vaccines, healthcare, and birth control, look at the millions of dollars he's so generously given to make geoengineering a cure for emissions. Look up at the sky. Contrails my Gates talks about sunblocking with sulfuric acid. Rains down into our water supply. Seeps into our crops. You can see the trees die. Maybe I'm crazy, or maybe I'm not. But there's things that I notice that happen a lot. Like when important bills pass, it's sleight of hand so you miss. Don't look at that. Hey, look at this. On April 18th, 2013, CISPA passed during Boston bombing. During the scare of Ebola, the UN passed what essentially is a Global Patriot Act. You know, the Patriot Act that excludes due process for the nation and leaves extremists up to interpretation, which leads to things like TSA, Guantanamo Bay, and invasions of privacy by the NSA. If you have nothing to hide, why do you care about this? Because of the things that make you a suspected terrorist. Owning a gun or precious metals, activism's too far, or rocking a Ron Paul sticker on the back of your car. The Read the Bill Act is proposed legislation that requires Congress to read bills proposed for our nation. Are you kidding me? It's not common sense to actually read the bills. Are you dense? Oh, get all offended by the word I just used. You should be offended by what's in your food. Reading the labels of food that we eat requires a linguist to get a science degree. I can't pronounce most of the words on the list, let alone know what the hell that it is. They don't want to label what's GMO, but have no problem labeling a race, religion, or homo. Labels on people to further divide, to make us forget that we are divine. I'm not a socialist, but I am entitled to my personal freedom and to protecting my child. And I refuse to ask permission before I speak my mind, like they teach the children before they form a line. Don't get me started on education. Our kids didn't even make top 10 when comparing the nations. But we were number one in defense spending. We're the great war machine, and the war is never ending. In all our high schools, they're trying to recruit the next generation to strap on the boots, to protect our freedom. But we're right here. So why are they sending our kids over there? Bribing them with free education? You'll see the whole world while you bomb all the nations. Protecting our freedom or oil interests again? Or use economic hitmen to establish a central banking system? And when you come home after wars messed with your mind, you can live on the streets and commit suicide. I mean no disrespect to those who've laid down their life. For the love of the people, they paid the ultimate price. I'm just pissed off at the lies that are told by the government puppets to get wars sold. And as we're on the verge of World War III, it's our duty to question the powers that be. But by all means, pledge your allegiance to a corrupt government who stripped all our freedoms. With the world's highest rate of incarceration, making huge profits for privately owned corporations. Contractual agreements are all in place to keep the cells full of various inmates. Doesn't matter if they're violent or not. Then promote through the media that there's a war on cops, so that the upstanding citizens will then start to defend our men and women in blue who have swore to defend, to protect and serve. But that's not the case at all. Supreme Court ruled their only duty is to uphold the law. So it's not to serve the people, it's to serve the state. That's why there's more cops writing tickets than investigating rapes. I hate ending on negativity from all the above, because that's not who I am. I'm about peace and love. And if your perspective is different, that's all right. I'm not trying to argue, I don't want to fight. And I'm not trying to change your stance, but please research cognitive dissonance. It's a hard pill to swallow. At least it was for me. But once you get past it, it's really quite freeing and frustrating and depressing. There's ups and there's downs, but I'm thankful now that I know what I know now. Because now I can try to help my kids to change how things are in this world that we live. If you don't hurt others or infringe on their rights, I'll defend your freedom till the day that I die. We don't need rulers to govern, because power corrupts. Just defend one another and spread peace and love.
Well said, from a millennial. I'm Gary Nall. Thank you for listening. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.